A service for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, June 21, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies, that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. An epistle reading from Romans 6. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is our text. A sermon entitled, Free from a Horrible Boss. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Something that I assume many of you can relate to at one point in time or another is working for a horrible boss. They're out there. Now, just what might make a boss horrible? There are a number of things that may make one feel this way about him. Yet one of the main ones is that he is always demanding more of you, all the time, never satisfied with anything that you do. What intensifies this is that he knows no boundaries and so expects you always to be working, always available at his beck and call. And then, regardless of how much effort you expend, your best is never good enough. Imagine having a boss like that, but then being headhunted by a much better boss. In fact, he is a dream boss. Everything he expects of you, he does himself. You are free from all the demands and expectations of your former boss so that you can do whatever it is you want to do. But suppose, in your new freedom, for some demented reason, you chose to keep doing the work of your old, horrible boss. Now, how would that ever make any sense? You were freed of him. How foolish to have been set free, but then keep working for him just as before. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, what you're saying is ridiculous. And of course it is. However, friends, in a way, this describes us. You see, you and I were born under the law. That is, in order for us to be right both with Almighty God and one another, we had to keep certain rules, statutes, and regulations. In the state in which mankind was created, this would have been possible, for we would have easily kept them all. However, due to sin that we've all inherited from our first parents, who purposefully transgressed when they did not have to, knowing better and able to resist temptation, we have been born of a fallen humanity. Yes, the reality of sin makes it impossible for us to keep the law as we should. The law has become for us like a horrible boss. It's always demanding more. It expects more from us than what we can ever give. It leaves us always in trouble, deserving of condemnation. No effort on our part to keep it changes how it is. All is hopeless. Except God has seen our lost estate. He has compassion on us due to how we are. He seeks to take us from our horrible boss that we might be his own. He does everything demanded of us for us, enabling us to be with him instead. How so? Well, this is where Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus is God's Son who became true man at his incarnation. Yes, God became one of us in order to do all that was required of us under the law. He fulfilled it. Jesus then offered his life, shedding his blood on Calvary's cross, whereupon he died, paying the penalty our sins incurred. The payment was received, as Jesus' resurrection from the dead reveals. Now all who trust in Jesus and the redemption he achieved for us are rescued from the law, along with the condemnation our failure to keep it has incurred. Our sins have been atoned for. It's like we've been headhunted by a wonderful boss so that we might leave the employ of our horrible boss. Our wonderful boss has saved us and he has set us free. Under him we don't have to do anything. However, we are glad to do everything for him, thankful for this newfound freedom from the law. But for some crazy reason, we instead put ourselves back under the authority of our horrible boss, returning to sin. We seek to serve the law, which we can't, and so thereby increase our sin. One sin leads to another, and before long we find ourselves enslaved again to our horrible boss. This is the reality that Paul is addressing in today's epistle. He tells Christians, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness." Yes, that's what you are doing when you continue to sin. You are obeying your horrible boss again to your own peril. Instead, the apostle urges, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Forget about that horrible boss. Instead, focus on the one who loves you and who has done everything for you. He wants you for himself. Not to go back to the old guy. St. Paul puts it this way. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Or, as he said in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. My fellow believers in Christ, you are free to leave sin in your past. The horrible boss wants us serving sin. There is no point being freed from him if we are going to purposely keep on sinning. Paul asks it like this. What then are we to do? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? The answer is, by no means. He then asks, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Yes, you and I have been freed from sin through faith in Christ. Leave the old in the rearview mirror. Get away and stay away from him. It's a matter of life and death. Instead, focus upon the one to whom you now belong. Paul says, but thanks be to God, you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Yes, Jesus, the one who has done everything for us by his life, death, and resurrection, is that one to whom we are committed, for he has set us free. Therefore, instead of thinking about sin, think about how you can please the Lord. Think about how you can serve him. There's so much for each of us to do in this regard, if we want to. And yes, we want to. To guide us, it remains helpful to look to the law. I know that sounds odd, since our failure to keep it increases our sins, but now I'm making a distinction between being guided by what's good in it versus becoming its slave. As our guide, it teaches us to love God by honoring him, his name, and his word. We seek to do our best for him in this because of all that he has done for us. In fact, he has made it easy for us to honor him, his name, and his gracious word through the grace we have freely received. Furthermore, in the law, we are taught not only to love one another, but also how to do it. This includes honoring those in authority over us, like our parents, one of whom we acknowledge on Father's Day. It's about helping others out with their physical needs, promoting life. It leads us to honor the holy estate of marriage between husbands and wives. It's about respecting another's property and their reputation. It includes being content with both the people and the possessions with which God blesses us. Can we do all these things perfectly? Of course not. We just can't. However, we are much happier serving our Lord than we are sin. And when we do sin, which we still will, he forgives us for Jesus' sake. Hence, we regularly confess our sins to the Lord and one another, being assured of his grace and the absolution along with the Lord's Supper. My earlier illustration about having a horrible boss until you were rescued by a wonderful boss is a bit silly. However, here I can echo Paul in our text when he admitted how he was speaking in human terms because of their natural limitations. Then he reiterates his point. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. We who have been free dare not return to serve sin again under the law. We seek instead to live sanctified and holy lives to the glory of God and the good of our neighbor. St. Paul makes it clear that should we keep being slaves of sin, that is, the things of which you are now ashamed, then the end of those things is death. We certainly don't want to return to that. He says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Yes, live eternally in a loving relationship with Jesus, or die eternally serving the horrible boss whose aim is to work us to death. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I have graciously been rescued from sin and the law by Christ. Freely serve him, for sin need no longer have dominion over us, since we are not under law, but under grace. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.